Morning. I heard a preacher say just recently, if you came to church today hoping to find God, I have good news for you. God came here first to find you. Think about that. I love that. The fact that God is looking for us. He's pursuing us. He's wanting to have a relationship with us. So if you search for him, he is easily found. I remember when my grandkids were young, we would play hide and seek. I'd count and I'd open my eyes, and immediately, just 5 feet away, is Wesley. He's hiding behind the end of the couch. And I immediately see him, but I act like I don't see him. His head's bobbing up and down all the time to see where I'm at. And I'm walking around looking for him. Is he behind the chair? Wesley, where are you? Is he in the bathroom? Is he under the bed? Nana, have you seen Wesley? Where's Wesley at? And this goes on for a little while, and all the while I know exactly where Wesley's at. And by this time, he's dancing up and down, and he says, Papa, you're not very good at this game. My point is, Wesley's easily found. And that's the way God is. When we search for him, he is easily found. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 tells us that. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. There's nothing that God wants more than to have a relationship with us. Seek him. Seek him more than what you seek anything else. I want to encourage you to seek him more than what you seek to have fun and pleasure with. You know, some people, and I think this is true, some people just seem to live from one weekend to the next, hoping to have fun, hoping to have adventure, hoping to find pleasure. I'm thinking eventually that's just going to wear out. It really doesn't fulfill your life. There's one thing that fulfills our life, and that is Jesus. And that is the relationship that we have with him. You've heard this said many times through the years. God has created us in such a way that there is a hole in our heart, and only Jesus can fill that hole. I want to encourage you to seek him more than what you seek the riches of this world. The world's riches fade away. They promise a whole lot more than what they can deliver. The world's riches can be stolen away. They wear out. They break down. And we've each experienced this in lots of different ways. I was thinking of the fact that here about 3 years ago, we were in need of a new washing machine. The Maytag that we had finally wore out. You know the old Maytag commercial from years ago. The repairman sitting there and he's bored to death because he's not getting any calls. The Maytag just isn't wearing out. And that was the story of our old Maytag washer. It just kept going and going and going. We received that washing machine from my mom and dad. It was used when we received it, and we had it for 28 years. And very few times over that time that we had to have a repairman come in and work on that Maytag. But finally it wore out. And we decide, okay, it's not worth fixing. Let's get a new washing machine, and we decided to shop locally first and give them a chance. And boy, did that guy give us a sales pitch for a high dollar washing machine. This particular washing machine, he said, was made to last. It's going to outlast all of those washing machines that you buy from the box stores. In fact, you'll just go through several washing machines from the box stores before this one will wear out. Well, we bought the high-dollar washing machine, and it's a good thing it had some warranty on it, because we've had that mechanic into our house several times. It's a reminder to me, the riches of this world will not last. They don't satisfy. But you know what? He satisfies. If we'll just invest our lives into Him, He will not disappoint us. Let me quote that verse to you again from Isaiah. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. There is nothing as satisfying as knowing Him. But I do want to end. I never want to insinuate to you that having this intimacy with God means that life will be easy. It's not. And we know that from our own experience. Life is hard. And one of the hardest things is to learn to wait on Him. That's the direction that I want to go with the sermon today, that we would trust God as we learn to wait on Him. There are so many verses in the Bible that exhort us to wait on the Lord. One of the most familiar verses to me, and maybe to you too, is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It says, yet those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Let me read a few more verses to you from Scripture that talk about our need to wait on the Lord. Psalms 27, verse 14 says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the person who seeks Him. Psalm 62, verse 5, my soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. How about this one from Psalms 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in His word do I hope. And one more, this time from Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4, it says, since ancient times no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides You who acts on behalf of those who wait for Him. I guarantee you this is only a fraction of the verses that instruct us to wait on the Lord. You looking for a good study to do on your own? Look at all 49 verses in Scripture that instruct us to wait on the Lord and see what they're saying to you. The word wait in the original language means to wait. Isn't that great? It means to wait with expectation. It means to hang in there with hope and patience. And we know from our own experience that waiting isn't an easy thing to do. I would imagine if I ask the question here, how many of you like to wait? There wouldn't be one hand that would go up. How many of you like to wait in traffic? No, that's hard to do. Hard to keep our mouth shut. Hard to be patient when we're sitting in traffic or waiting at the drive-thru. It's supposed to be faster than going in, but there we sat. Waiting for test results and the diagnosis from the doctor. And I'm waiting for that doctor to call. It's hard to wait. How about this? Waiting for your prayer to be answered. Waiting for your prodigal to come home. It's hard to wait. We want things to happen right now, yesterday. But lots of times, we have to wait. And specifically, I want to talk about waiting on God. Let me give to you two thoughts about waiting on God and then give you some things to do while you wait on God. First thought, God's timing is different than our timing. And I know that's not new news to you. You already know that. You've experienced it in your own life. But it's a reminder to each of us today. God's timing is different than our timing. And probably some of you have heard this corny joke before. This fella who's having an imaginary conversation with God. The fella says, God, is it true that to you a billion years is like 1 second? God says, yes. The guy says, is it true that to you $1 billion is like a penny? God says, yes. The guy said, God, can I have a penny? God says, sure, just 1 second. I told you it was corny. But it does have a point that God, with Him, there is no measurement of time. There's no clock. There's no calendar. There's no stopwatch. God is eternal. And 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. Think about that. We believe that's true. And because it is true, you know, this just kind of blows your mind. By God's timetable, He just created the heavens and the earth 6 days ago. The waters of the Red Sea were divided just 3.5 days ago. By God's time frame. Because 1,000 years is like one day, and one day is like 1,000 years. His timetable is so much different than ours. So when you and I ask Him a certain prayer request, like, Lord, I have this loved one. Would you bring healing to her, to him? It's not that God isn't hearing you. It's not that He doesn't care. It's just that He's on a different timetable than what we are. He hears us for sure. And He does care about us for sure. And it's not that He's not going to answer that prayer. It's just His time is different than our time. And in the meantime, we need to trust Him. We need to wait on Him and know that He is in control. He will always do the right thing for us, and it will always be at the right time. And so my second thought is this. As we wait on God, it is an opportunity for us to grow in our trust of Him. Hold on to him for the ride, and he will get you to the right place. Now understand, the in-between time may be a different pathway than what you were really hoping for. And it may be difficult. But know this, he will not abandon you, and he will work all things out for you, for the good of those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. God wants to grow us. And sometimes growth happens best through the fire. The impurities have to be burned out. In the end, we're going to be a stronger person if we wait patiently on him. And so my question to you today, as we're going through this sermon, is simply this. Will you trust him enough to wait on him? Will you trust him enough to wait on him? God is seeing things from a heavenly perspective while we're looking at things from down below, and we're looking up. He's way up there. He's looking down. He sees the whole big picture. He sees where it's going, where the path is leading. We can't see all of that. We just see that which is right in front of us, that which we can look up and see a part of. The picture. And so we have to trust him that what he sees is a complete picture, more complete than what we can see. In my mind, one of the great heroes of the faith in the 20th century was Corrie Ten Boom. You may be familiar with this, with her story, and I've talked about her in years past, and maybe you've heard stories about her. She and her family were thrown into a Nazi concentration camp for sheltering Jews during World War II. She and her sister, Betsy, ended up in the same concentration camp while the rest of their family was separated, sent to other camps, they thought, but later they found out that the majority, about all of their family died early on, right after that separation. Her mother, her father, brother. It was a terrible thing. And obviously it was a very hard life for Corrie and her sister. And they're praying to God for help. She's praying for God's protection. But it just seemed like, and this is by her own testimony later on, it just seemed like that their prayers weren't being answered. She began to grow bitter. And at this point, it seemed like Betsy, her sister, had a stronger faith, a more clear perspective than what Corrie did. Betsy remembered 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where it says, give thanks in all circumstances. Well, it was hard to give thanks in that circumstance. Let me tell you about the barracks that they were thrown into. It's the barracks that no one in that whole concentration camp wanted to land in. It was freezing cold, it was filthy, and it was infested with fleas. Nobody wanted to be in that spot, but that's where those two girls landed. And Betsy says to Corrie, who's getting more and more bitter, she says, Corrie, we need to be thankful in all circumstances. That's what 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says. We need to be thankful to God for the fleas. And Corrie's response was what you would expect. She's, what? God has said no to so many of our prayers, and you're saying that we should thank him for these fleas that are infesting our bodies and our bed and stealing away our sleep. Begrudgingly, Corey gave in to her sister's advice. She said to God, "Thank you, God, for the fleas." As the months went by, in their barracks, Corey and Betsy were able to read from a smuggled Bible. They were able to hold worship services with the other inmates and pray together with them and truly minister to them in the name of Jesus. And for some reason, the guards never came in and bothered them. They were bothering all of the other ladies in the other barracks, but not in their barracks. And then it dawned on Corey the reason why. It was the fleas. The guards didn't want to come in there because of the fleas. And so they left them alone. And Corey Ten Boom was able to do missionary work even in the concentration camp, which she did survive. And after the war, she went on to inspire millions of people for Jesus. Again, what we see from down here as a terrible thing, from God's perspective up there, He may have a completely, entirely different view of it. Because He's seeing the big picture. He's seeing the good that can come from this heartache and this tragedy, this trial that we're going through. And if we'll just decide to trust Him, if we'll just decide to hold on to Him through the whole journey, He says, "I will work it out for your good to my glory." And it may not be the pathway that you would have chose. It may not be in the timetable that you would have chosen. But He is in control. And He's working. That song that we sing sometimes, the Waymaker, He's working when we don't see it that He's working. He's working around the clock all the time. And so let me mention some things to you that you can be doing as you wait on the Lord. First of all, pray. Devote yourselves to prayer, the Scripture says. Pray without ceasing. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Cast all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you, says 1 Peter 5:7. One of the most prevalent ways that we can give Him our anxiety is to pray to Him. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. He will gladly exchange your anxiety for His peace. That's quite a trade-off. We give Him our anxiety, all of that stress that we have, we give it to Him, and He in return, He'll gladly receive that from us, and then in return He gives us His peace, His comfort. Take advantage of the waiting time. Become more of a prayer warrior. And if you will take time to pray, your spiritual roots will go deep into Him. I have 4 points here of what to do while you wait on the Lord, and they're each short. Pray and be in His Word. His Word will minister to you as you wait on Him. His word will sharpen you. It will teach you. It will comfort you. It will correct you. It will convict you. His word will lead you into Christ's likeness while you wait on Him. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, Paul said. We become what we fill ourselves up with. Fill yourselves up with the Word of God, and you will begin to think the way He thinks. You fill yourselves up with the world, you'll for sure think about, you'll think the way the world thinks. But you fill yourselves up with His Word as you're waiting on Him. Over time, He grows you in Him, and you begin to think the way He thinks. And you see things through His perspective. You will become a reflection of Jesus to the world around you. Here's a third thing. As we wait on the Lord, let's worship Him. Become a worshiper of Him instead of complaining about the fact that you're just having to wait so long. I mean, that's not a good option, to become a complainer, to become angry, to become bitter. Those are not good options. And those are the pathways that Satan is wanting to lead us down as we're waiting. We don't like to wait. And a better option is that we would just become a worshiper of Him. And I'm not just talking about corporate worship on a Sunday morning with the church. Yes, that should be a part of our worship experience. Every Sunday we need to be here and to be a part of this gathering and this worship that takes place. There's just something wonderful about corporate worship, but there's something wonderful about personal worship through the week, where we become a habitual worshiper of God. And to say with David, "Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care." If we will become better worshipers, the waiting time will get easier. Notice I did not say the waiting time will get easy. I said, if we become better worshipers, the waiting time will get easier because we're focusing on Him and He's growing us in our patience and our ability to wait and to trust. One final point. As we wait on Him, go tell somebody about Him. As you're waiting on God, take the time to tell the good news of Jesus to someone. He's put us here for that reason. And if we're fulfilling our purpose, if we're fulfilling that mission, it's going to be fulfilling to us. Not only is it going to help that person that we're talking with, but it's going to help us. And you say, "I need courage." Yes, we all need courage. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to do for us. He wants to give us courage, Holy Spirit boldness. We don't have to muster up the courage ourselves. We just need to lean into the Holy Spirit, and He will help us have the courage, and He will give us the words to say. Now, I have something to say to you that I think we all need to hear. This church will not grow because we're building a new building. Do you hear that? This church will not grow just because we're building a new building. You know, we're familiar with that phrase from the movie Field of Dreams. If we build it, what? They will come. I don't know that that's true for the church. Now, if we build it, I think there will be some people come to see what we have. The church will grow not because we're building a new building, but because you and I are sharing the good news with people. And we're excited about Jesus. And we're inviting our friends and family and neighbors. And just something is going on in our heart. And people will see that. And they'll be interested. What's going on out there where you go to church? And they will come as they see Jesus in us. They will come as we invite people to church. They will come as we reflect the love of Jesus and as we forgive those who are hurting us. As they see a difference in us, that's what's going to bring them here. And once they come here, it's our responsibility then to welcome them, to love them, to help them become comfortable here. Now, I don't know. Maybe that's different than what you've been thinking, but that's how I think. And I think it's the truth. As you wait on the Lord, go tell somebody. And please understand, I'm all for that building, because as new people come, we're going to have a great tool to house them. And we can grow, and that will be an exciting thing, and all to the glory of God the Father. But as you wait on the Lord, go tell somebody about Jesus, for that's what the Great Commission is. Determine to trust God amidst your waiting, and as you wait, become a prayer warrior. Become a student of the Word of God. Become a worshiper. And become a witness.